Hey, 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 it's your girl Carla Renata, aka the Curvy Film Critic. Welcome back. It's 2020. Happy New Year. We got so much waiting for you. I can't wait to get into it. Stay right there.
You're tuned into Black Hollywood Live, the world's first digital broadcast network devoted entirely to urban entertainment and pop culture. Tune in right now.
Happy New Year, everybody. It is 2020. Isn't that fabulous? Yes! I am so excited to have been able to see another year, get another hustle on. I'm all about it, and I hope you are too. If this is your first time tuning in, I am your host, Carla Renata, and this is The Curvy Critic with moi here at Black Hollywood Live. If you haven't subscribed, please click the subscribe button down below so that you can get notifications about when we go live, when we have specials, when we have promos, whatever the situation is. You will be in the loop. Now, let me catch you up on what I've been up to, because I wasn't here for a couple of weeks right before we left to go on holiday. So I flew to New York to do a junket with the cast and creatives of Just Mercy, which is a film that was released it's released today. How about that? January 5th, Just Mercy, it was released today along with Clemency. They both have nationwide releases. They were released earlier on December 20th, I think, in limited release, but now they are nationwide, both Clemency and Just Mercy. But I was in New York doing a junket for Just Mercy, and I interviewed Jamie Foxx. I interviewed Tim Blake Nelson, who you guys might know from The Watchmen. I interviewed Michael B. Jordan, Brie Larson, Karen Kendrick, Bryan Stevenson, who Just Mercy is the book that he wrote. So the film is based on a very specific time in his life when he began his work on death row, helping those inmates get some type of justice. So if you haven't seen those videos, please feel free to go to thecurvyfilmcritic.com and watch all of those interviews, or right here on Black Hollywood Live. I think I put some of them up there as well. And check them out. They're very funny. I sang happy birthday to Jamie Foxx and Michael B. Jordan. It's worth watching that alone. I'm just saying. I went to Disneyland. My brother flew out. And so my mother and my brother and I, we went to Disneyland. It was a Disneyland Star Wars kind of day. I was Star Wars all day long. I did anything that had anything to do with Star Wars at Disneyland and got my little May the Force Be With You groove on. It was so exciting. I had such a great time. And then I went to the Coach store the day after Christmas, because we were at Disneyland, I think, on Christmas Day. So I went to the Coach store, and guess what? They had a Coach bag with Star Wars on it. They only had two, and I have one of them. So there you have that. I was so excited. It was so fabulous. But yesterday, I was at the Film Independent Spirit Awards brunch. Now, Film Independent is an organization that sponsors indie filmmakers in every aspect you could possibly imagine. And they have a brunch and an award show every year. So I forget the dollar amount, but the films cannot make over a certain amount of money for them to be considered for a Spirit Award nomination. And they have this big brunch for the nominees where they give the John Cassavetes Award and they give another award. So that happened yesterday. There's a plethora of interviews that are going up regarding that. But I did I cut some things up for you guys. So the first thing I did was a little montage where I asked everybody, what their favorite film influences were. I think that's what I asked them, or something along those lines. So take a look at that, and then we'll come back.
It's your girl, Carla Renata, aka the Curvy Film Critic, right here on the blue carpet for the Film Independent Spirit Awards brunch. I got all the nominees and interviews coming up right at you, so stay right there. Another year of Film Independent Spirit Awards. Man, you guys know how to do it right.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, I'm excited. I love today. It's a great time to celebrate all the nominees, but you know, it's not about who's winning or not winning. It's about celebrating the nominees. And of course, today we also give out, I believe it's $125,000 in cash grants to emerging and mid-career filmmakers.
Unique. How important do you think it is to recognize indie film?
It's so important. I can't even tell you what it means to us to be included with the other films that are here today. And to have the acknowledgement of Film Independent lets us know that our work is valued. And to be honored in the tradition of John Cassavetes means so much because he's a real hero of mine.
I think it's really important. I think we really need to keep it alive. We already lost like a big range of films that were, you know, the mid-range, you know, between the low-budget movies and the big studio movies. And that's almost gone. So now we just have like the little independent movies and the big studio ones. And I think it's really, really important to celebrate and honor, you know, the spirit of the independent cinema because we need that. We, of course, need that, those voices. And it's getting, yeah, it's getting smaller and smaller. You know,
I think it's absolutely vital and important that we continue to tell independent stories.
That's it?
What's that?
I'm just going to mess with you because you seem kind of quiet. How important is film independent to you guys right now, especially being nominated this year?
It's incredibly important. I was not expecting this. And I'm going to, you know, champion this moment, take in a moment, and ride it till the horse is dead.
I know that's right. How about you, my sister?
Same. It was a surprise. I'm just honored, really humbled. And, you know, when we first found out, Stefan and I were like, oh, my God. And I'm like, yes, oh, my God. And it's like, who thought we would be here? So it's just so exciting. And, you know, I'm just going to cherish all my time.
It's really amazing. Like, you know the film. You've seen it. You know, you've spoke with us before. And, you know, this, like, our film is pure independent film. And we need the support from these deep people to go forward. And it's a really important platform for us to speak about the film, about how we make it, what the challenging of doing film by yourself at the beginning and then supporting by great people and all together in this. It's really like amazing place to be in.
Yeah, it means a lot to us. This is like our gang, we feel. These are our people, the people who like have to scrape together the funds to get their camera, to get their film to happen, you know, who are in the struggle all the way to the end. So to get the recognition from our people is an amazing thing.
It is an amazing thing. I had so much. This event is one of my favorite events of the year because I don't normally get to cover the Oscars, and I choose not to cover the Golden Globes just because it's a lot and it's a really
Last
long day. But I have another little tidbit for you, and we can just roll right through these if we want to save some time. We have an interview with Joe Talbot from The Last Black Man in San Francisco. He's giving mad love to Jonathan Majors in that clip. And then I spoke with Hustlers director Laureen Scafaria. We talked about her being a female filmmaker and what that means for her. And she gave mad love to J-Lo. And then last but not least, I spoke with Chinoya Achiuwa, who is my love. I love her so much. She is the screenwriter and director of Clemency. I talk about Clemency here all the time, y'all. I love, love, love that movie. And then right before we get to Stephanie Thomas, I want to tell you a little bit about her. So let's just roll.
Man in San Francisco. Let's talk about your boy Jonathan Majors in that. That's your buddy, right?
I love Jonathan. Jonathan became kind of like Jimmy and I, who created the movie together. We always say John became like our third brother in the production because he just like... I mean, obviously, he's an incredible actor, but he's also a pretty amazing guy. You can imagine from seeing his performance, the kind of guy that would be able to deliver that.
I've interviewed him a few times. He's an amazing individual.
He is. He really is. And he kind of made everyone better. He's one of those people. Some people come in, and I think they deliver in a really incredible way. John does that, and then he also lifts everyone else up around him. So we're really lucky.
Let's talk about using the city of San Francisco as a backdrop. It was like its own little character. What made you guys decide to infiltrate the city as well as the characters that were on the page?
Well, to us, I think there isn't really a separation because Jimmy and I both grew up in San Francisco. We're both multi-generational San Franciscans. So much of what makes you love the city and I think what we fear we're losing are the characters. It's all the people that make the city what it is. Without them, there is no San Francisco. So I think for us, it was always about how can we capture that old San Francisco, the city we grew up in, with those people, you know, before we lose them.
And coming into the Spirit Awards, who would you say is your favorite filmmaker?
Oh, boy, right now or just
ever? You can say right now or ever.
Oh, man, that's a hard one. Well, I feel like I'm flighty. I'm always finding new filmmakers. Right now, I just found an old filmmaker I love named Max Ophuls. He's amazing. Love Bong Joon-ho.
I love him too.
Like everyone here. There's just so much good stuff, it's hard to pick one.
Okay, I'll leave you alone. Thank you so much for talking to me, and congratulations on your Spirit Award nom.
Thank you very much.
All right, see you later.
Yeah.
We're going to roll right into another one. This one, as I said, is with my girl, Chinoya Achebe. Like
we truly had a black girl moment. This is my baby doll.
Hi.
Hey, girl. Hey. Girl, it's happening.
It's happening.
Are you excited?
Yeah, it's exciting. It's exciting. You know, it's like a healthy combination of gratitude and detachment.
I love you for that. Oh, my God. I didn't ask you this before, but who's your favorite filmmaker?
I don't have one, but I'll tell you a couple.
Okay.
Okay, so I love Federico Fellini. I love Bela Lugosi. I love Steve McQueen. I love Paweł Pawlikowski. I love Lynn Ramsey. Those are a couple.
Oh, I love all of those, too. Yes. Me and her, we here.
Yes.
We are totally here all the time, all the time. I asked you what you were streaming last time. This is what I want to ask you. How important do you think Film Independent is to the big diaspora of filmmaking and cinema in general?
I mean, I think that Film Independent has the power and has the ability to recognize a lot of independent films that may not have been recognized by the mainstream. Like, I was really happy to see that there are some films that have much smaller budgets and might not have caught on in that mainstream way that are still being recognized because they're still extraordinary films. And hopefully, by doing so, Film Independent gives these films a platform to be seen.
And Clemency. Let me just say, Clemency, and I say this every time I see her or every time I talk to her, Clemency is like one of my favorite films this year. You know this. You know how much I adore it. I was blowing it up on Twitter last week. Did you see me?
I did. I appreciate it. And that's a really good photo of it.
Right? It came out really good. I'll send it to you. Girl, go on and go. I'm not going to mess with you no more.
I appreciate you. Thank you so much. And thanks for your work and your support. And it really does mean a lot. So
I appreciate you.
All right, that is my baby doll, Chinoya Achebe, the screenwriter and producer of Clemency. And let me just say something before we roll this clip on Stephanie Thomas. Stephanie Thomas is a disabled stylist, which means she is disabled and she styles people who are disabled. So take a listen to what she says about this really special job that she has.
Yes, Miss. Yes! I was like, I know Stephanie. And I was trying to do a story on you.
Oh, I'm so glad. Lolo's just a dream client.
Talk to me real quick about what you do, how you do it, and what's coming up next for you.
Okay, so I am a disability fashion styling expert. For 28 years, I follow clothing and retail trends for people with disabilities. And I'm also a congenital amputee, missing digits on my right hand and my feet. So what I do is I provide styling solutions for people with disabilities, and I act as a liaison between where the fashion industry is and where it must inevitably go to be more inclusive. So I use my disability fashion styling system to make sure that I can pull clothing from the rack that is easy to get in and get out of. It's accessible, it's smart, it's medically safe for their bodies, and it's fashionable. They love it for their lifestyle, body type, and it looks great. I have a textbook coming out I'm super excited about. It's coming out in the spring. It's called Fitting In, the Social Implications of Fashion and Dressing with Disabilities. And I just want to do more work with styling and helping people with disabilities dress with independence and dignity.
Where can people find you?
People can find me at curatable.com, which is C-U-R-8-A-B-L-E, or they can find me on Instagram at Disability Fashion Stylist.
Thank you, Stephanie. I'm going to get this out there, girl, to promote you. I love you so much.
I love Stephanie Thomas, and I think what she's doing is a really great service. I appreciate that there's somebody out there that is dealing with the disabled community because it's very difficult to style them. Some of them are in wheelchairs. Some of them are in other contraptions that don't necessarily or easily lend themselves to being able to have on gowns. You know, it might get caught in a spoke or something along those lines. But yeah, I can't say enough about her. So if you're interested in checking out more about Stephanie Thomas, please go to curatable.com. And curatable is spelled C-U-R, the number 8, able.com. Curatable.com. All right. So the Golden Globes are in full swing right now. I will be heading over there as soon as we get done with the Curvy Critic. And we've got some winners already. So let me just hit those real quick before we get into it. We have one winner for Best Actor in a TV Series Musical. It is Rami. Rami Youssef is the Best Actor for that. He won. Yes. We have Stellan Skarsgård won Best Supporting Actor in a series, miniseries, or TV movie for Chernobyl. That's a very popular show. Yes. And Succession is the Best TV Series Drama. I gotta tell you, yes. Kudos and clap, clap, clap for all of that. Succession, every time I asked someone on the red carpet what they were streaming, they always said Succession. So I guess I'm going to have to check that show out because apparently it's something else, apparently. So I just, while we're on that subject, let's talk a little bit about award season. So today is like this weekend is called Golden Globes weekend because the Spirit Awards nominees kick off this week. Yeah, no, they kicked off, but the brunch kicks off yesterday. And then today, we have the actual Golden Globe Awards. Now, there's so many nominees in so little time. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to go through the Golden Globes, the Critics' Choice, and the SAG Awards, because those are the ones that are coming up. And then a little later on, we'll go through Oscars, you know, later on down the line. But some of the ones that have not one yet is these categories. So Best Picture nominees are Joker, Marriage Story, The Two Popes, 1917, and The Irishman. Best Motion Picture Musical, and who do I think is going to win that category for drama? That's a tight one, but The Irishman has been getting a lot of love. 1917 is a critic's favorite. A lot of critics like Two Popes. Joker has gotten a lot of backlash, but it's also won a lot of awards regionally. My personal favorite is Marriage Story, so I don't know how that one's going to fare. Best Motion Picture, Musical, or Comedy. The nominees are Dolomite Is My Name, Jojo Rabbit, Knives Out, Once Upon a Time in Hollywood, and Rocket Man. I enjoyed Rocket Man, but I felt like on the heels of last year's Bohemian Rhapsody, that may not fare as well in terms of winning. Once Upon a Time in Hollywood, again, is a critic's favorite. It was not my favorite, but it's a critic's favorite. I loved Knives Out. I love Jojo Rabbit. I love Dolomite Is My Name. So I'm assuming that Once Upon a Time in Hollywood is probably going to win, but Knives Out, Dolomite Is My Name, or Jojo Rabbit should win, but they're not going to. Okay, best performance by a actress in a leading, best performance by an actress in a motion picture drama, I should say. And I've got all my little contraptions out because I'm trying to keep up with who's being announced winner-wise in real time for you guys so that you can get that news too. So those nominees are Cynthia Erivo for Harriet, Scarlett Johansson for Marriage Story, Saoirse Ronan for Little Women, Charlize Theron for Bombshell, and Renee Zellweger for Judy. Renee Zellweger has been the critic circuit darling for winning this category, but that's a really strong category. There isn't a weak link in that bunch. Anybody could walk away from that. But I'm guessing that Renee Zellweger will probably win, but who should win out of that, for me, is a toss-up between the other four, Charlize, Scarlett, Saoirse, and Cynthia, because they really did give some stellar performances. Best performance by an actor in a motion picture drama is between Christian Bale for Ford versus Ferrari, Antonio Banderas for Pain and Glory, Adam Driver for Marriage Story, Joaquin Phoenix for Joker, and Jonathan Pryce for The Two Popes. The person I feel that should win in that category, that should win, should be Joaquin Phoenix. It should be Joaquin Phoenix. But there might be a little drama and a toss-up, and Adam Driver might walk away with that. Best performance by an actress in a motion picture, musical, or comedy Emma Thompson for Late Night, which is a film that very few people saw, but it was freaking hilarious. And it was directed by Nisha Ganatra, and she got no love, but she's a wonderful filmmaker. Ana de Armas for Knives Out, Awkwafina for The Farewell, Cate Blanchett for Where'd You Go, Bernadette, and Beanie Feldstein for Booksmart. Beanie Feldstein was hilarious in Booksmart. Hardly anybody saw Where'd You Go, Bernadette. Awkwafina was fantabulous in The Farewell, and as well as Ana de Armas for Knives Out. I feel like the person who's going to win that category will be Awkwafina, and the person that deserves to win is Awkwafina. Let me refresh my browser here, see if I have anything new. Okay. Best performance by an actor in a motion picture, musical, or comedy. Daniel Craig for Knives Out. Roman Griffin Davies for Jojo Rabbit. Leonardo DiCaprio for Once Upon a Time in Hollywood. Taron Egerton for Rocketman. And Eddie Murphy for Dolomite Is My Name. The person that should win is Eddie Murphy. The person that will win is probably going to be Leonardo DiCaprio because the Academy loves him. But if Eddie Murphy walks away with that, nobody will be happier than me when he walks away with that Golden Globe, because it's been a minute and he did a really good job. Best performance by an actress in a supporting role in any motion picture. Margot Robbie for Bombshell. Kathy Bates for Richard Jewell, and Annette Bening for The Report. Laura Dern for Marriage Story. Jennifer Lopez for Hustlers. There has been a lot of heat on Jennifer Lopez for Hustlers and Laura Dern for Marriage Story. Both really good performances. People have been overlooking Kathy Bates in Richard Jewell, which was a mind-boggling performance that she gives. Annette Bening in The Report as Diane Feinstein, perfection. And Margot Robbie in Bombshell, good too. But the person that should win will probably be Jennifer Lopez, but the person who will win is going to be Laura Dern. Best performance by an actor in a supporting role, motion picture. Tom Hanks for A Beautiful Day in the Neighborhood. Anthony Hopkins for The Two Popes. Al Pacino for The Irishman. Joe Pesci for The Irishman. Brad Pitt for Once Upon a Time in Hollywood. I feel like Al Pacino and Joe Pesci may cancel each other out. It kind of depends on how the votes went. Brad Pitt should win for that. But if, you know, sentimentality gets into it, it could be between the four heavyweights, Joe Pesci, Al Pacino, Anthony Hopkins, and Tom Hanks. So it's kind of all over the place this award season. Best Director Motion Picture, Bong Joon-ho for Parasite, Sam Mendes for 1917, Todd Phillips for Joker, Martin Scorsese for The Irishman, and Quentin Tarantino for Once Upon a Time in Hollywood. The person I feel should win is Bong Joon-ho for Parasite. I've talked about that show I've talked about that film ad nauseum here. It's a wonderful picture. I feel like 1917 is kind of up there, and I feel like Martin Scorsese is kind of up there. Again, if sentimentality takes hold, it'll be Martin Scorsese or Quentin Tarantino, but Bong Joon-ho should win. Screenplay Motion Picture. Oh, we have another winner in. Best Actress in a TV Series went to Phoebe Waller-Bridge. Comedy for Fleabag. Fleabag has been getting a lot of heat. Man, Phoebe Waller-Bridge is raking up those awards, so congratulations to her. All right. Best Screenplay, Motion Picture, Noah Baumbach for Marriage Story, Bong Joon-ho and Han Jang-won for Parasite, Anthony McCarten for The Two Popes, Quentin Tarantino for Once Upon a Time in Hollywood, and Steven Zaillian for The Irishman. I feel like the person that should win is Bong Joon-ho, but the person that will win will be a toss-up between Noah Baumbach and Quentin Tarantino. If Noah Baumbach wins, it could put him high in the list of running people that are in the running for the Oscar. If his wife Greta Gerwig gets nominated for an Oscar, we could see a first-time husband and wife duo being nominated for Best Director Oscars. The Best Motion Picture Animated, Missing Link, Toy Story, Frozen 2, How to Train Your Dragon, and The Lion King. Of all of those, I feel like Toy Story 4 should take that home. Should and will take that home. Best Motion Picture Foreign Language, The Farewell, Les Miserables, Pain and Glory, Parasite, Portrait of a Lady on Fire. I saw all of these movies and they were all really good, but I feel like the one that should win, again, is Parasite. The one that will win will probably be between The Farewell, Portrait of a Lady, and Parasite. Let me see if anybody else won. Okay, no. Original Motion Picture Score, Hildur Guðnadóttir Girl, I'm sorry, I butchered your name. I just messed that all up. For Joker, Randy Newman. For Marriage Story, Thomas Newman. For 1917, Daniel Pemberton. For Motherless Brooklyn, Alexandra Desplat. For Little Women. I feel like the person who should win is Daniel Pemberton for Motherless Brooklyn, because that score is a jazz score. It's really rich and kind of all over the place with the different types of genres of jazz. Randy Newman is an awards favorite. And Thomas Newman and Alexandra Desplat do some really wonderful things with their films. So that's kind of up in the air. But I'm feeling like it's probably going to go to, it'll probably go to Randy Newman or Daniel. But I'm hoping that Alexandra gets some love in that category as well. All right. Best Original Song Motion Picture. Beautiful Ghost from Cats, which is sung by Taylor Swift. I'm Gonna Love Me Again, which is written by Elton John and Bernie Taupin from Rocket Man. Into the Unknown by Kristen Anderson Lopez and Bobby Lopez, who were unable to come to the Golden Globes today because their little one was sick. So prayers and thoughts with you, my friends. I know how disconcerting that can be when you have a child that's ill and you have other things that you want to do, but your first priority is with your little nugget. So prayers and thoughts with you. Spirit, which is written by Beyonce for The Lion King, and Stand Up from Harriet. I feel like Stand Up from Harriet should win, but it'll probably be, you know, Into the Unknown from Frozen or Spirit for Beyonce. We'll see how that plays out. We have some more winners. Okay. Oh, and I called it. Parasite won for Best Foreign Language Film. Yes. Bong Joon-ho. Yes. I'm happy to know he's getting some love. All right. Yes, let's move on. Best Television Series Drama. I think we just went through that one. That was Succession was the winner. Best Television Series Musical or Comedy. That has not been announced yet. And that's between Barry, Fleabag, The Kominsky Method, The Marvelous Mrs. Maisel, and The Politician. The Marvelous Mrs. Maisel has been swamping and killing that category, so it'll probably win. And if it doesn't, then Fleabag will. Best Television Limited Series, we already said that went to Chernobyl. Best Performance by an Actress in a Limited Series or Motion Picture. This is a tight category because it's Caitlin Dever from Unbelievable, who also starred in Booksmart this summer. Joey King for The Act. Helen Mirren for Catherine the Great, Merritt Weaver for Unbelievable, and Michelle Williams for Fosse Verdon. Who should win is Michelle Williams from Fosse Verdon. I mean, for me, that's like a no-brainer. Hello. Best Performance by a Television Actor in a Limited Series of Motion Picture Made for TV, Russell Crowe. Ah, he won. Russell Crowe won that category. They already have it up here. Russell Crowe won for The Loudest Voice. The nominees in that category were Sacha Baron Cohen for The Spy, Jared Harris for Chernobyl, Sam Rockwell for Fosse Verdon, and Christopher Abbott for Catch-22. But Russell Crowe is the winner in the category of Best Performance by an Actor in a Limited Series or a Motion Picture Made for TV. Best Performance by an Actress in a Television Series or Drama. Olivia Colman for The Crown, Jodie Comer for Killing Eve, Nicole Kidman for Big Little Lies, Reese Witherspoon for The Morning Show, Jennifer Aniston for The Morning Show. The person who should win is Olivia Colman for The Crown, but the person who might win will be between Reese Witherspoon and Jennifer Aniston. And of course, Nicole Kidman has won in this category before, so she could actually take it. And then the upset of the night, of course, would be if Jodie Comer from Killing Eve took it home. Best Performance by Best Performance by an Actor in a Television Series Drama. Kit Harington for Game of Thrones. Rami Malek for Mr. Robot. Tobias Menzies for The Crown. Billy Porter for Pose. And Brian Cox for Succession. Since Succession has already scored a win this evening, it may be the upset win in this category with Brian Cox. But the person who should win is Billy Porter for Pose. Rami Malek, this is his last season for Mr. Robot, so it might be a sentimentality vote there for him. And Game of Thrones, again, last season, people might, you know, give him that last win for that category. Best Performance by an Actress in a Television Series Musical Comedy is Christina Applegate for Dead to Me, Rachel Brosnahan for The Marvelous Mrs. Maisel, Kirsten Dunst for On Becoming a God in Central Florida, Natasha Lyonne for Russian Doll, and Phoebe Waller-Bridge, who we already announced won in that category. Best Performance by an Actor in a Television Series, we've also already announced it was Rami Youssef for Rami. And in his category was nominated Bill Hader for Barry, Ben Platt for The Politician, Paul Rudd for Living With Yourself, and Michael Douglas for The Kominsky Method. Best performance by an actress in a supporting role in a series, limited series, or motion picture made for television. Toni Collette for Unbelievable, Meryl Streep for Big Little Lies, Emily Watson for Chernobyl, Patricia Arquette for The Act, and Helena Bonham Carter for The Crown. The person I feel should win in that particular category probably should be, I'm feeling like it should be either between Helena Bonham Carter for The Crown or Meryl Streep for Big Little Lies. But Patricia Arquette is the favorite in that category and has won that category before. So that is a possibility there. Best performance by an actor in a supporting role in a series, limited series, or motion picture made for television is Alan Arkin for The Kominsky Method, Kieran Culkin for Succession, Andrew Scott for Fleabag, Stellan Skarsgård for Chernobyl, who I believe just won that category, and Henry Winkler for Barry. Stellan Skarsgård won that category. I announced that earlier. And of course, the Cecil B. DeMille Award is going to Tom Hanks this evening for his body of work. The Carol Burnett Award is going to Ellen DeGeneres. That is the recap for the Golden Globes. Now, let's get to the SAG Awards, because that one is going to be the next one up on the chopping block. And really what's going to happen is what's happening tonight and the wins for tonight are going to grossly determine what is happening for the rest of the award season. Because usually whoever wins the Golden Globe goes on to win the Oscars and the SAGs and this and that. Every once in a while, there's a clean sweep for someone right across the board. But like I said, this award season is kind of all over the place. Everybody is doing everything. And it's kind of all over the place. So I'm feeling like the SAG, and because the SAG Awards are voted on by actors, they have a tendency to vote on performances. Actors did not resonate that much with Bombshell as much as they resonated with Once Upon a Time in Hollywood and Parasite. So that might go to one of those two films for the SAG Awards. The leading actor role is probably, it's probably either going to go to All five of these people are stellar. Renee Zellweger for Judy, Charlize Theron for Bombshell, Lupita Nyong'o for Us, Scarlett Johansson for Marriage Story, and Cynthia Erivo for Harriet. My personal favorite would be to see a woman of color win in this category. I would love to see Cynthia or Lupita Nyong'o take it. If Lupita Nyong'o wins, it would be the first time somebody that is an African-American woman won for a horror thriller film. So that would be nice to see for once, because they're not giving people of color a whole lot of love this year. It's kind of like hashtag Oscars so white all over again. And there were a lot of films by women, and there were a lot of films this year with people of color in them. And I know because I saw all of them. So there's that. Outstanding actor in a major leading role. I'm feeling like people will probably give this to Adam Driver for Marriage Story for the SAG Awards. I feel like the performance by a female actor in a supporting role may possibly go to Jennifer Lopez for Hustlers, because actors have a love affair with her ever since Selena. That's about to go down. She's definitely going to get that. Outstanding performance by a male actor in a supporting role. I am going to say that acting wise, it will probably go to Joe Pesci, because he's been out of the game for a while and actors love him. They love him and they talk about him all the time. I think Phoebe Waller-Bridge just won another award. Let me just see. Best Actress in a TV series. That's a repeat. All right. So now what's happening is I'm looking through the live feed for the Golden Globes, and they're posting people's speeches and jokes and all that. And of course, you know, we've got that crazy Ricky Gervais hosting, so child, anything could happen. But yeah, that's that. Outstanding action performance by a stunt ensemble in a motion picture. Hands down, this is going to Avengers Endgame for the SAG Awards. No question about that. Outstanding performance by an ensemble in a drama series. That is hands down going to go to either Stranger Things or Game of Thrones, since it's their last year. It may possibly go to The Crown or Big Little Lies. We don't know. We'll see. Outstanding Performance by a Female Actor in a Drama Series. Again, Jennifer Aniston is nominated for The Morning Show against Helena Bonham Carter for The Crown, Olivia Colman for The Crown, Killing Eve's Jodie Comer, and Elizabeth Moss for The Handmaid's Tale. I feel like people have fallen out of love with Elizabeth Moss for The Handmaid's Tale. That doesn't mean her work has gotten worse or anything like that. People are just not connecting with that show as strongly as they did when it first came out. So it'll be a big of a stretch for her to win in that category. Jennifer Aniston has not won a SAG award or a Golden Globe since Friends. So that would be something really wonderful to see from her. Outstanding Performance by a Male Actor in a Drama Series, Sterling K. Brown, who's won in that category multiple times for This Is Us, Steve Carell and Billy Crudup for The Morning Show, Peter Dinklage for Game of Thrones, and David Harbour for Stranger Things. People may give Peter Dinklage that last boost of accolades for Game of Thrones. So let's go on and continue. Outstanding Performance by an Ensemble in a Comedy Series. It's between Barry, Fleabag, Kominsky Method, The Marvelous Mrs. Maisel, and Schitt's Creek. I think it's probably going to go to, it's going to be a toss-up between Fleabag and The Marvelous Mrs. Maisel, because those shows really resonate with the Screen Actor Guild community. Outstanding Performance by a Female Actor in a Comedy Series, Christina Applegate for Dead to Me, Alex Borstein for The Marvelous Mrs. Maisel, Rachel Brosnahan for the same show, Catherine O'Hara for Schitt's Creek, and Phoebe Waller-Bridge for Fleabag. Phoebe Waller-Bridge, maybe she's having a moment right now, so she may walk away as the victorious winner in that category. Outstanding Performance by a Male Actor in a Comedy Series, Alan Arkin for The Kominsky Method, along with Michael Douglas, Bill Hader for Barry, Andrew Scott for Fleabag, and Tony Shalhoub for The Marvelous Mrs. Maisel. I think who's probably going to walk away with that, I think Bill Hader won once, Michael Douglas has won once, and Alan Arkin, I believe, has won once. So has Tony Shalhoub. So if they go outside of the box, they'll give it to Andrew Scott. But that's what's happening with that. Because we're running short on time, I will deal with the Critics' Choice Awards next week, or maybe I'll do like a little special promo thing and talk about that, because the Critics' Choice Awards are happening a week from today, and I will actually be attending that because I'm a member of the Broadcast Film Critics Association, which votes on the Critics' Choice Awards. So I will be there for that, and I'm very excited about that situation because I can't wait to see who won. It's going to be fan-freaking-tabulous. We talked about the Spirit Awards. So let me just run through a little news for you real quick before we run out of some time. I found out that Anika Noni Rose is the Tony winner for Carolina Change. She was in the film version of Dreamgirls playing opposite Eddie Murphy, ironically enough, who's nominated for a Golden Globe tonight for Dolomite Is My Name. I like this jazz sleepy music. Hey. So she is about to be part of a horrific nightmare in a green, which is a film called Limbo, which has been greenlit by Miramax, Barnyard Projects, and Snoot Entertainment. The film is directed by Chris Peckover, who wrote it with Matthew Jemison. And the story follows a young mother whose body becomes possessed by something evil, rendering her a disembodied spirit and a ghost in her own house. As this demonic devil takes over her life and threatens to harm her family, she must find a way to protect her loved ones while also finding her way to her body, back to her body before it's too late. Yeah, I might have to pass on that one. I love you, Anika, but you know I don't do horror. That is not my thing. Viola Davis and Rob Morgan from Just Mercy are pairing up along with Sandra Bullock to do a in life after incarceration film for Netflix that is going to be directed by Nora Fingschleit. And it's based on a 3-part miniseries called Unforgiven. All right. What else do we have? Oh, and Nisha Ganatra, who I talked about a little earlier when I was talking about Late Night, she has signed a 2-year overall deal with ABC Studios, a division of Disney. And under the pact, she will write, direct, and develop projects across all platforms for her newly launched Ladies Car Productions banner. And that is it for the Curvy Critic News Minute. I love that. And Dirty Dozen. Oh, I forgot one other thing. There's going to be a remake of The Dirty Dozen which is a Warner Brothers film. The original film was in 1967. It was helmed by Robert Aldridge, and it featured an all-star ensemble, which included Lee Marvin, Ernest Borgnine, Charles Bronson, Jim Brown, John Cassavetes, Telly Savalas, Bob Weber, and Donald Sutherland. And we heard about Bob Cassavetes was a name that came up again and again and again on the blue carpet for the Independent Spirit Awards. All right, so I'm going to go and finish beating my face and get my gown on and get in that Uber because I am so not driving with all of those street closures and get ready for the Golden Globes. And I will be able to give you guys some more updates throughout the week, probably tomorrow. And next week, you will have a pre-taped show of The Curvy Critic, and I will do some reviews of a film called Three Christ that stars Richard Gere, Like a Boss, which stars my friend Billy Porter, and a film called Underwater. So until the next time, you guys, thank you so much for joining me for The Curvy Critic with Carla Renata right here at Black Hollywood Live. I love it. We're going to rock it out in 2020. If you've never been here before, give me a thumbs up to let me know you were here. Please click below for the subscribe button and, you know, be in the know about everything that's happening with The Curvy Critic. And I will see you next week. But, you know, again, remember, I will not be here in real time next week. It is a taped show, but it will run in real time. So I may not be able to chat with you, but I will see you. Catch me right after this at AfterBuzz TV, where I'm doing the General Hospital after show every Sunday with my boy Frank Moran at 6 p.m. So until the next time, love, peace, and hair grease, and I'll catch you on the flip side. Bye-bye.
On behalf of our BHL staff, we would like to thank you for tuning in to Black Hollywood Live, the world's first digital broadcast network devoted entirely to urban entertainment and pop culture. Check out our Black Hollywood Live YouTube page for even more great programming and amazing content. And be sure to subscribe and like our channel when you do. I'm your BHL host, Nakia Monet, and you can find me on all social media at Kiki Boom Boom or at Black Hollywood Live. Black Hollywood Live, Hollywood redefined.